Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
All right, Ty and Dan, the Solid Verbal.
Yes.
Back at the Harbor Mist Hotel. We are joined by the esteemed Andy Staples, longtime friend of the show.
Harbor Mist Hotel, is that some sort of wine cooler?
Yes, you have solved the mystery. That's what Ty thinks it should be called because it sounds like CVS wine.
Mm. As I was drinking my Big Flats beer from Walgreens the other night.
Oh, nice.
You never had the Big Flats beer?
What does it taste like?
I've never really had it either.
Nice.
So now, what's the food situation for you like down here in Miami, because heaven is a buffet, very on the up and up with the food situation.
Oh, yeah.
What is it like down here?
This is a great place down here. I mean, you have your Cuban food, which I don't know how Cuban food has not taken over America.
I don't know either.
Because it's barbecue without the sauce with better side dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've had a fried sweet plantain, you know what I'm talking about.
I had it 2 nights ago.
Well, you should have it every night.
I would like a pouch of sweet fried plantains on my side.
It's incredible. Like a kangaroo.
Yes, a kangaroo. Delicious.
A sweet fried plantain marsupial.
Some beans and rice. They slow cook.
Absolutely.
Raising meats. The ropa vieja.
Absolutely. Ropa vieja is very good. They're doing pork. Mm-hmm. Almost like
stacks
barbecue.
Of onions. There's a great crossover audience.
It's fantastic.
And
there's a lot. I think there's a lot that barbecue fans would like about Cuban. There's a lot that Cuban folks would like about barbecue. So mash it up.
I wonder if it's secretly part of the embargo.
Might be.
As soon as Castro's out of power, that's when we see Ropa Vieja chains sweeping the nation. And we're in on the bottom floor. Step three.
I'm liking
profit.
This. Yes. I am liking this.
This is going to be on like unsolved mysteries.
Now, the one thing, in different places in Florida, you can get a pulled pork Cuban.
Okay.
And that is spectacular.
They do it well.
Good pulled pork, and then you got your pickle and your mustard and your cheeses and your ham.
Mm-hmm.
And
doing pretty well.
Cuban bread.
Yeah. We also should point out another story. You invited us to your room last night,
that sounds terrible.
Which is not what it sounds like. You have a weird,
strictly platonic, yes.
A weird structural situation.
Weird. I have a very normal hotel room.
Yes.
It's got a TV, a bed, and a bathroom. Nothing really special about it.
No.
And then what looks like a very small patio.
Ordinary.
And then you turn right. And you turn right again, and you keep going and going and going, and you realize that you were on the Fiesta party deck.
It's like a Sigourney Weaver Ghostbuster situation where they realize that something odd is with the corner penthouse there.
Mm-hmm.
You made out in this deal.
Well, I did not make out literally.
No, right. Again, we need to specify.
And I will tell you, Gozer the Gazarian is not going to appear
yet that you
on
know
the
of.
Fiesta party deck.
All right. Well, so you're in town. I remember when this game took place last year. Again, two different teams, Alabama, LSU. We had you on our program, and I had made a comment that Trent Richardson was the best guy in the field. And he said, well, hold on. Barrett Jones is the best guy on the field. Is Barrett Jones still the best guy on the field on Monday?
Depends on if it's him or Chance Warmack.
Okay.
But it's probably one of those two. And you know, Barrett's limited. He's got the foot injury, which...
Right.
He said it's great today. It's like a new foot because he hasn't put any weight on it in a month. But, no, it's you saw it. The guy's trying to win a third national title at a third different position.
Yep.
I mean, he's fantastic and very smart and has proven to be a very good leader. So, you know, I think I'll go with Barrett because I think if you ask most coaches – can I create a player for you like that? Is that something you might be interested in?
Right.
They'd say, no, that person doesn't even exist.
And he probably has the hardest job on the field.
Yes.
He is going to be nosed up against Lewis Nix.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a phrase, but it sounds scary.
Yeah.
Nosed up against Lewis Nix.
Head up is the official line term for it.
But
a zero technique.
A zero technique. Zero technique. As a nose tackle, I'd say nosed up against Lewis Nix, and then has six other dudes that are going to be running right at him at various times that are outstanding. So the degree of difficulty, would you say it is the highest on the field for Barrett Jones?
It is. Now, people think that he'll be matched up with Nix by himself
right,
every play. That's not the case. And depending on a lot of the runs, you're going to have a guard coming through with him
block,
or somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's or he'll be blocking. You know, he'll have some sort of angle or he'll. He'll try to get away from Knicks and hit a linebacker, and somebody will crash down on Knicks.
Right,
and that's how that works, and that's how you save your center's life a lot of times. But yeah, it's going to be there are going to be plays, there are going to be pass plays and a few run plays where he is one on one with a 6'3", 326-pound bowling ball of a human being.
Yep,
and that is no fun
with angry hands.
Yeah, he's such a jolly guy everywhere else, but his hands are angry.
Nice.
All right, so if you look at this from a matchup perspective, I think a lot's been made of certainly the offensive line from Alabama against the Notre Dame front seven. Everyone knows about it by now. What about the Notre Dame offensive line against Alabama? Can this line, which by many accounts is not getting the respect it deserves, and we talked to a few people today,
right.
Can they move Alabama? Can they push them? Can they execute on that power running attack that Brian
Kelly's Alabama's
tried?
D-line has not been unstoppable this year. Their linebackers have not been the greatest linebacking core of all time. I think most people would agree that this Alabama defense would rank behind the 2009 and the 2011 ones in terms of dominance. I think Jesse Williams is as good a nose tackle as Terrence Cotty was.
Okay.
Not as big and maybe not as immovable because of just sheer weight. But in terms of quickness, ability to not get tired, keep playing, Williams is better there.
Right.
And so Braxton Cave is going to have his hands full. And, you know, there's no... Nobody really replaced Courtney Upshaw. You know, Adrian Hubbard is in that role. And physically, he looks capable of doing it eventually. But he's not the player Courtney Upshaw was last year yet. I mean, Hubbard may get to that point. But so if you're Zach Martin, you know, you're not dealing with what you could have been dealing with last year. So, and Martin's a really good lineman. I mean, as left tackles go, he's one of the best. Could have been a very high draft pick and decided to come back next year. So I think Notre Dame O-line is going to be able to move the ball a little bit against Alabama. I don't know if it's going to be a ton. I think the key is to get the running game going so that Alabama has to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
If Golson can move around in the pocket a little bit and they have to spy him with a linebacker or something and you get some one-on-one matchups outside, that is where Alabama's really had problems this year.
Right.
Zach Mettenberger looked fantastic against them.
He did.
And he didn't have a lot of great games.
Right.
And he picked them apart because they had one-on-one matchups on the outside. Very similar situation when they play Texas A&M. Obviously, Johnny Manziel commands a lot of attention, and you have to kind of leave your corners out there, and he made them pay.
Right.
You know, I'll never forget Johnny Manziel saying his favorite play of the year had nothing to do with running. It was he dropped back and just put a perfect ball in there to Malcolm Kennedy in the end zone, and Dee Milliner has as good a coverage as you're ever going to see, and it was just a perfect
throw.
Puts
it in the right spot.
I asked Dee Milliner about it. He's like, there is nothing else I could have done to stop that play. He's like, I could have interfered with it. It wouldn't have mattered. It was a perfect throw.
So if these players in this game, we've seen 12 and 13 games from both of these teams, if they play to their relative averages, if they play to what we expect them to be, is it? I mean, it sounds like it's oversimplification, but does this game go as Everett Golson goes?
Oh, I think he's very important. I think he's extremely important, but I think you can also say the same for A.J. McCarron.
Yes.
I mean, if they come out chucking, which they very well might, just like they did last national title.
They've spread it out more this year than any other year.
And he is on and he is not making mistakes, it's going to be really hard to stop Alabama's offense.
Okay.
Because if you give up a few passes to McCarron early, you take those guys out of the box. I mean, that front seven is very good. I mean, Stephon Tuitt is probably the most freakish defensive lineman in the country who isn't named Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
And I think they've got all the ability in the world, but I'm not sure they can win the numbers game at that point because, you know, T.J. Yeldon, Eddie Lacy, those guys are hard to bring down one-on-one. And so even if you've got a guy free, you may not be making the tackle till 4 or 5 yards down the field, and that's a problem.
Everett Golson's a mobile quarterback. Johnny Manziel is a completely different type of mobile quarterback.
I won't than any quarterback we've
known. They're not anywhere near the same thing.
Right.
But if Everett Golson can extend plays,
line time.
I mean, you saw it the other day in the Outback Bowl. Connie Shaw saved South Carolina by being able to escape from a sure sack.
Yep.
And if that's all you do, even if it's running around enough to throw the ball over the sideline and have a 0 yard gain instead of a 15 yard loss, then that's a positive.
Right.
And I think Golson's mobile enough to take away some mistakes. And if you can do that, take away the mistakes against Alabama's defense, you got a shot, because they thrive on you making mistakes.
Right. And subsequently stepping on your throat for
pretty
making
much,
that mistake. Yeah.
I get the distinct impression that as you answer these questions, you're trying to be diplomatic about Notre Dame's chances.
No, not at all.
Because
I think they can win.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Alabama's better.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're that much better. I think
really okay.
If Notre Dame can pick off McCarron a couple times, it's anybody's ball game.
So is that the game plan then? I mean, is that what they try to do? Do they go with the McCarron pass game early to try and loosen up Notre Dame, take guys out of the box, and then try and open up running lanes? How do you attack Notre Dame's defense then if you're Alabama?
Well, I think it depends on – I'm sure Nussmeier's got a bunch of plays already drawn up in a script. But, I mean, it really depends on how Notre Dame attacks you.
Sure.
If they stack the box, heck yeah, if you got one-on-one – throw to Kenny Bell, throw to Christian Jones, throw to Kevin Norwood. See if you can loosen them up a little bit there. If they don't, if they play you straight up, run a little bit, try to throw, see what happens. You know, see if you can block to it. See if Cyrus Quandro can block to it.
Right.
Because that's something you're going to need to figure out. You know, some of those guys are really good on that Notre Dame front seven. And if McCarron is getting harassed, then, yeah, you may want to go back to just running it and do your thing, keep it low, keep the score low, hope you can force Everett Golson into a mistake, get the short field, and take advantage of that.
Conventional wisdom is that when you have two teams with outstanding defensive front sevens, that it's pretty hard. I mean, we can't predict turnovers. It's pretty hard to imagine that this is going to be a blowout just because you have two teams that are so sound up front.
And also, these two teams, unless the opponent is completely physically overmatched,
right,
don't blow other teams out.
Correct.
It's just not their style.
They're not built that way.
Yeah.
And both teams are able to attack really well at the line of scrimmage. So conventional wisdom says that it's probably going to be a game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So to who do you give the advantage? To whom, excuse me. There's the grammar, right?
Yeah.
To whom do you give the advantage schematically, physically? You know, it's going to be a physical game, so by the end of the game, who do you think is better built to win late? And these are two teams that have won big games late.
I'd say Alabama,
okay,
because we've seen them assert their will on the ground against a very good, very athletic Georgia defense.
Yes.
We've also seen them...
Is Georgia defense very good?
Their individual parts are very good.
Individual parts.
I don't know if the
as a whole.
The whole thing is that great.
Yeah.
But individually, yes, it's... I mean, in terms of individual matchups, you're dealing with some really good athletes.
Yes, you are.
So we've seen that. We've also seen them, in complete desperation mode, go through the air to beat a very good LSU team on the road.
Yes.
Now, we did see Notre Dame take to the air in a real tight game at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma getting just annihilated by Texas A&M is another sign that you know, maybe they're not that good. You know, but Notre Dame also against Stanford, when they absolutely had to move the ball down the field, did. And I love, by the way, the throw it up to Tyler Eifert, let him draw a pass interference penalty play. Love it. I'm serious.
Works much more often than not.
People laugh, but that dude draws pass interference penalties because he's tall, he's athletic, he's fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a right-sized guy to cover him. You can cover him with a DB, but he's probably too small, and Tyler's going to body him up.
Right.
You could try to cover him with a linebacker, but Eifert's too fast. So I like that matchup if he doesn't, you know. Now, if he's covered by a linebacker and there's a safety standing right there too,
right,
you got a bigger problem. But if you got him one-on-one, throw the fade.
Mm-hmm.
Make them commit a penalty to keep him from catching the ball, because he's going to catch the ball if you throw it in the right place.
Okay.
you've covered these games before. The teams change from year to year. Well, I mean, this seems to always be an SEC team, but the teams do change from year to year. Has there been anything, I guess, different just with how you cover this from a media perspective based on the teams that are here? Is it different going to Media Day for any reason or another just because of the teams and the traditional aspect of this that we're seeing?
Not really. I mean, I don't cover it any differently than I would cover anybody else. I think it will be read more and watched more than if it was somebody else because these are two name brand programs. These are the two name brand programs.
Yep.
So it's just a case of, you know people are watching and reading, so better write something good. But I don't look at it any differently. I'm still just trying to find the most interesting thing to write about.
Sure.
Is there a team that you think, if it is with this sort of layoff, there's the chance that we'll have a sloppy game in front of us? Is there a team that you feel like has more ways in which they can win?
No, I think both teams can beat you a couple different ways. And I think they can stuff you and force turnovers. Mm-hmm. They can both run the ball pretty well. I don't know that Notre Dame can run as well as Alabama, but they can both run it fairly well.
Right.
You've seen when Notre Dame has to throw that they can. You've seen when Alabama has to throw that they can. So I think they're fairly evenly matched. I think Alabama's a little bit better. I think they're underplaying it, but I think the experience does matter. I think there are a lot of guys who play for Alabama who've already felt those butterflies for the first time.
Right.
And know how it's going to go. And
perhaps won't make that early mistake.
And you never know how guys will react to that the first time. Sometimes guys react positively to being on the big stage,
yep.
and it helps them. We always assume that they get nervous and screw up, but some people actually just rise to the occasion.
And focus.
Eric Golson's been really good in big games.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I think that's one thing. You can't predict these things. I think the layoff is a big reason you can't predict them accurately. Yep. I mean, I remember Oregon and Auburn. Everybody said that game's,
shootout.
Over under 90.
Right.
It wasn't that way, and you just don't know what's going to happen over 39 days. What these coaches and people were saying, oh, this is a huge coaching mismatch. Really? Brian Kelly's won at Grand Valley State. He's won at Central Michigan. He's won at Cincinnati, and now he's done what people thought wasn't going to be possible and brought Notre Dame back to national prominence.
Also, his first BCS game,
exactly.
Brian Kelly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. Yeah, he bailed on the first one.
Yes.
This time he actually has to coach it.
Indeed.
But, yeah, so, Saban and his staff are great, but they're coaching against some pretty good brain power on the other side,
yep,
too.
Sure.
That's a fun fact, by the way.
Yeah,
you
like
just
that?
Shot it out. That's good. I like that.
It's Everett Golson's first BCS game. It's Brian Kelly's
as well.
Game.
All right, well, we'll get you out of here on this. Again, AndyStaplesSI.com. Prediction. Tough to predict. Long layoff, but you've got strong opinions. What do you think?
Alabama 21, Notre Dame 17.
Okay. That's another guess now. Notre Dame, the gambling national champion.
Well, I had it 17-13. A lot of people feeling right around there.
Sure. All right.
Notre Dame gambling national champion. I like that.
There it is. AndyStaplesSI.com. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Cool.